Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
You're the best! We're the beautiful! We're the only!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I am your host, Kyle Autry, joined as always by my co-host, JD. JD, how are you, man?
Spooky, scary summer, man.
Yeah, we got a good spooky, scary summer movie that we're going to be doing this week on the podcast. We're discussing the 1997 horror film, I Know What You Did Last Summer. Got a great cast as well. We'll get into that as we go along. But real quick, I want to take a second to thank our sponsor, Bunny17 Media. Go over to their website right now, bunny17media.com, and save 15% off your entire order. While you're at that, go on to our Apple Podcast, Google Play, or YouTube and leave us a 5-star review and help us spread the word about the podcast so we can continue to grow every single week. JD, let's get into the reason we're here. What's your first memory of I Know What You Did Last Summer?
So this is a movie that I definitely saw in theaters. I want to say 7th grade. I went with my neighbor and one of her friends. So I felt like I'm going to a movie with two chicks. obviously, being that it was 7th grade, we probably sat in different seats and different rows because we couldn't be seen together because of cooties.
Right.
But I loved this movie from the very first time that I watched it when I was too young to be watching it.
Yeah, so I had pretty much the same experience. I don't remember if we went with girls, but I definitely went to see this movie in theater with friends. And I mean, yeah, we're at 12 years old at this time. What was that, 8th grade? 7th, 8th grade?
Yeah.
So, yeah, probably a little too young to be watching a movie about a mass murder and a slicker. But, yeah, I mean, it was such a great movie. And I think that time period of horror is one of my favorites with Scream, I Know What You Did Last Summer, Urban Legend, Hush. I mean, what else am I missing? I mean, there's so many good movies from those, like, mid to late 90s.
Right, and then even into the early 2000s with, like, Wrong Turn.
Yeah, you really love Wrong Turn.
I do love Wrong Turn.
What are they on now, like 8 or 9?
You know what? I checked out after 4. It was a little difficult for me. I felt, you know, having seen... Audience, this is a true story. I've seen the movie Wrong Turn in theaters 30 times.
I remember that from a previous episode in our archives where you talked about that, but yeah.
Gotta drop it. Gotta keep up the memory and the legacy of seeing that movie in theaters 30 times.
That's entirely too many times to watch that movie. So, yeah, I think our experiences are pretty similar. I wonder if a lot of our audience has that same experience that's around this age of seeing it in theater with friends and maybe being a little too young or just right in your early high school teen years. If you have, shoot us a message on Twitter or not a message, tweet at us. What am I, 100 years old? Or you can send us a message on our email at backintimepodcast@gmail.com and let us know. We want to hear it. Let's fire up the trailer. That's why we're here, to break down this original trailer. You can go onto YouTube, type in I Know What You Did Last Summer original trailer. You will be looking for the trailer titled I Know What You Did Last Summer trailer 1997 in parentheses. It's uploaded by Trailer Man Is Here. Great name. Shout out to that guy. And it has 1.2 million views. I'll give a 3-2-1 click countdown and we can watch this thing together. JD, are you ready?
Got my white t-shirt on and it's raining down from the heavens on me.
All right. You have a ketchup stains on that shirt?
Mustard. Why?
Just kind of always pictured you with a mustard or ketchup stain shirt.
Dude, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's why I'm here. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, click.
So the boy and girl are making out, right? When they hear over the radio that this lunatic killer's escaped from an insane asylum.
That's not the way it goes. The boy goes for help, and the girl stays in the car, and she hears this, like, scratching sound.
No, he's been decapitated. No, he was gutted with a hook.
Oh, tell me, little Miss Prelaw, what's the charge for manslaughter? Make a pact. Right here and now we take the sorry grave.
For the last year, four friends have kept a secret.
Are you on drugs?
No.
Well, then what is wrong?
I've had a rough year.
But not all secrets stay buried.
Somebody sent this to me.
Oh, my God.
Someone knows.
I know what you did last summer. Ooh.
What they thought would be a new beginning.
Toast to us.
Is becoming a dead end.
Somebody tried to kill you last night. We have to go to the police.
If you want to be dead, he could have done it.
And the mistake they made.
It was an accident.
There was no accident. It was murder.
What if he's still alive? Hey!
What are you doing here?
Is coming back to haunt them.
Oh, my gosh.
He's after me, too.
I got a letter.
I got run over. Helen gets her hair chopped off. Ah! Julie gets a body in a trunk, and you get a letter? That's balanced.
He's waiting for us to unravel.
The wait is over.
What are you waiting for, huh? What are you waiting for?
Summer.
All right, JD, start us off. What'd you think about the trailer?
First of all, I forgot that Johnny Galecki was in this.
Yeah, I forgot that too.
it was very
fun seeing him.
Very surprised to see his little smirking face pop up in a good way. I don't know. I mean, we've done a lot of trailers up to this point, and I don't know if it's just the nostalgia kicking up on me, but I got shivers that entire time. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. That pumped me up in every way a trailer needs to pump somebody up for. Like, we might have to stop recording so I can go watch this movie. It was like being at a strip club. Like, everything about what I just saw titillated me.
That's awesome. I like that word. Yeah, a couple things that I like that I just made notes of. I like the beginning story, kind of like that urban legend. You know, they're on the beach, they're all telling the story, chiming in together. I really like the letter. I think that's a good idea for this type of movie. I mean, JD, could you imagine getting a letter today with all the social media and technology we have? Somebody writes you a handwritten letter and they're like, "I know what you did last summer." Totally freaked out. I'm like, who sends letters?
You know what? I for the longest time wanted to bring back sending letters, and I've always wanted to send somebody a letter, but I never have.
Yeah, anybody
it would
out there?
So creepy.
If there's anybody out there in the Twitter land that wants a pen pal, you heard it here. Unjust Justin, send him a tweet. Now the last thing that I have to mention, because their soundtrack is fantastic, but that track at the end, which I believe is by a band called Kula Shakar, called Hush. Man, that song was on repeat in my car for a long time. Do you remember that song at all?
I do, yeah. No, I think in the same way that Scream used that Nick Cave song, like...
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it uses good, great, upbeat pop culture music to, like, really hammer home the feeling. And I agree with you, man, that I love the soundtrack and I love that particular tune.
All right, let's get into some box office numbers and see how they did in theater. I Know What You Did Last Summer debuted at the box office on October 17th, 1997. The film was distributed by Sony Columbia with a runtime of 101 minutes and a production budget of $17 million. They would open number one at the box office in week one, bringing in $15.8 million. In week two, they would stay at that number one spot, bringing in another $12.1 million. So the 10-day total $32.8 million, almost double their budget. JD, what do you think about the first 10 days?
Yeah, that's kind of like the ideal horror movie opening weekend. Like, that's the sweet spot right there.
Yeah, I feel like the budget's a little high. You don't typically see horror movies with, you know, close to $20 million in budget.
Yeah, but look at the cast.
That's true. A lot of heavy hitters at that time. Do you think the schoolyard effect was in play?
Oh, I know it is. It definitely was.
Okay. So they would spend 3 full weeks at the number one spot and 6 weeks inside the top 10, and they would gross domestically $72,586,134 with an additional $53 million in international box office, bringing their worldwide total to $125,586,134. Wow. Talk about recouping your money. JD, what do you think about the final numbers?
No, this is a franchise movie that came out of the gate and just destroyed the box office. And that's fantastic. I wish the legacy of this film carried on a little bit more. I know the second movie didn't really do much justice. And I know the third movie, if you've even seen it, sort of just crapped on all that this movie established.
Yeah, that was a bit of a direct to Redbox like cash grab at the time.
But it's so frustrating about when they do that with those direct to, you know, digital release cash grabs. All you have to do is stick to the heart of the original. And guess what? You're going to do well. You don't have to deviate into like supernatural mumbo jumbo BS.
Right. Yeah, I think the worst direct to DVD sequel I ever watched was The Sandlot Part 2, which just crapped all over that iconic film. I was so, so pissed off when they did that.
I never even bothered.
Yeah, it's bad. Don't. It'll ruin everything about that movie for you. Let's talk a little bit about the top 10 movies of the week for October 17th, 1997. As we know, I Know What You Did Last Summer came in first. Number 2 at the box office was The Devil's Advocate. Number 3, Kiss the Girls. Number 4, 7 Years in Tibet. Number 5, In-N-Out. Number 6, Soul Food. Number 7, Rocket Man. Number 8, The Peacemaker. Number 9, L.A. Confidential. And number 10, Bean. JD, any standouts for you in the top 10?
Dude, I saw most of those movies in theaters.
Okay, which ones did you see?
I know for sure Devil's Advocate. I loved that movie. I still think it holds up pretty good. Kiss the Girls creeped me out so much when I saw that. Like, that's a cool movie. And I haven't seen it in many years, but that was cool movie.
Is that Morgan Freeman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Rocket Man. We haven't talked about Harlan Williams yet. Future episode for sure either will be Rocket Man or Sorority Boys.
Maybe even Down Periscope.
Yeah, or Dumb and we haven't done Dumb and Dumber yet, have we?
Nope.
Because he's got a good cameo in that as well.
You'd shut up if you knew it was good for you.
No, I mean, this is a great week for movie. Even Bean. I mean, Bean.
I can almost remember seeing the poster for Soul Food in the theaters when we went to see I Know What You Did Last Summer. Like, I can picture, like, all these movies on the billboard. Like, L.A. Confidential, I remember seeing that one as well, because Kim Basinger looks amazing on the poster. I didn't care to see the movie, but I was like, damn, is she hot? Is that the lady from Batman?
I'm a sucker for detective and noir films, so L.A. Confidential was a big one for me.
Oh, good cast, too. Russell Crowe, Guy Pearce, Chester the Molester, Spacey. Yeah, I mean, there's some good ones on there. Danny DeVito. Wow. Okay. Well, yeah, great top 10. I don't think I saw any of the other 9 movies in theaters, but I definitely saw them at Blockbuster. Let's get into some critic and audience response for I Know What You Did Last Summer. So as always, we're going to use Rotten Tomatoes to gauge the critics, and then we're going to use Amazon to gauge our customers. So JD, how do you think the critics received I Know What You Did Last Summer?
Okay, I'm a little nervous about this because we're talking a movie, 1997. It's a teen slasher, and it is chock full of heartthrobs. which tells me the critics may not have walked into the theater smiling. I feel like, you know, they're kind of a discerning critic would have been like, okay, all we're trying to do is really hit the curb running from power that Scream caused the year before. But I think that the setup is great. I think that the hook, you know, pun intended, is great with the, like you said, the handwritten letter. I Know What You Did Last Summer. It's chilling. It's, if you were to get that anywhere in your life right now, it would blow your mind. And the fact that this is based on a novel. I mean, this is a literary property that already existed. I know they tinkered with it quite a lot to get the final product, but I kind of think that the critics were probably pretty satisfied with this movie. And I'm going to say 64%.
Okay. I know now why you were nervous. The critic response was 35%.
Oh, shit. That's got to be my worst one ever.
The audience response, not better, 40%. For I Know What You Did Last Summer, yeah. We'll hear from the audience, though, because that's what really matters. Now, Robert Ebert gave the film 1 out of 4 stars, and his quote was pretty short and sweet. The best shot in this film is the first one. Not a good sign. Any thoughts on that?
He's difficult to disagree with, and we've butted heads with him in the past with his reviews. I don't agree with that. I think that there's plenty more great shots. I will agree that I think the ending is a little convoluted, and like the actual mythology and story is kind of makes you shrug your shoulders and just say okay at times. But there's a lot of great shots in this movie, Raji.
Is there a chance, in your opinion, that because there had been so many like teen horror films back to back to back, that he may have been growing a little thin with this genre and had gone into it a little pissed off, like you had mentioned, like kind of shrugging his shoulders, like, I got to see another teen slasher. Jeez.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the case. And, you know, modern cinema is a little bit jaded in the other direction because we have this giant cult of just superhero movies where, like, you keep expecting the critics to come back negatively, but, you know, the audience, listen, back in time podcast audience, studios pay people for positive reviews, whether it be people sitting at home or whether it be critics in the newspaper. So when you read reviews for modern movies, no, those are paid for. They're not an accurate representation of the movie. When we're looking at a movie from 1997, we're talking Roger Ebert actually walking into the theater, probably annoyed that he does not want to watch this movie.
Yeah. If I'm remembering right, I think he really likes Scream. And it's the same writer on this one, Kevin Williamson, as on Scream. So I'm surprised. We have to go back in the archives. I don't remember that he was, I don't remember him being sour on Scream, though.
No, and I know that Scream defined the genre that I Know What You Did Last Summer is stepping into and playing in. But I really thought that this movie operates on a higher level than, you know, simply saying the opening scene was cool, too bad the rest sucked.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's hear from the actual customers here. So based off of almost 400 reviews on Amazon, I Know What You Did Last Summer carries a 4 out of 5 stars, which is very solid. And we've got a couple, this one's a 4-star review. It comes from Darren Harrison, who said, entertaining thriller from the writer that penned Scream. Shortly after the release of the movie Scream, with its cast of hot young stars, came this vehicle with the same Scream writer. That combined a cast of young and upcoming attractive leads in a vibrant concoction of suspense and thrills. It's not a bad review, and he gave it 4 out of 5 stars. You know, what's one thing that you're looking forward to going back and actually kind of paying close attention to with I Know What You Did Last Summer?
I like watching these movies. These are a movie that you and I watched when we were younger than the main characters. I know we probably both watched this in high school when we were the same age as the main characters, probably in college when we're like, okay, we've got a few years knowledge on these characters. We're mature adults now. I'm looking forward to watching this movie and looking back and being like, well, how are they going to pay their bills? Or, well, are they taking out student loans? Who's paying for their car? Like, we're going to have a much different take on this movie. That maybe we will understand why Roger Ebert poo-pooed so hard on it.
Okay. I like that. That's a response. I would never call us mature, though. maybe more mature.
That was
wrong with me.
That was a bunghole response by me.
Yeah, Zoltan. Okay, we'll figure it out. So thank you guys for subscribing to the podcast. Thank you for hitting the download button on today's episode. Reminder, all of our previous episodes, all 48 of them, are in the archive. So make sure that you get over there, check those out, subscribe. It doesn't cost you guys anything. That'll make sure that you get every single episode that we upload right to your device. Real quick reminder, next week is the big episode. We are celebrating our number 50. And when I say 50, we've done probably close to 100 now, actual episodes. But we've only done 50 movies. And this week it's going to be Back to the Future. That's right. The movie that helped name the podcast. So you can bet we're going to be putting a lot of effort into it. It's going to be a fun episode. We may have a few surprises along the way. Some stuff we're still trying to work out, but let's get excited about that one. It is that time of the show to climb back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, and return back to present day. We'll be back with the full review of I Know What You Did Last Summer on Wednesday. See ya.
Hush, hush, someone's taking a munch out of your butt.